you know? And I want to do something a little different tonight, a little different than you probably ever heard. You know, he talked about looking in a hymnal. We used to have a hymnal. He'll know the song. And it says, "Have thine own way, Lord." Usually they use it in an altar call. But I want to use it at the beginning. And I want to just have you think about it. And with the scriptures that I'm using, I want to ask something of you tonight. For just this 30 minutes to an hour, just cross everything out of your mind. Empty your mind out and say, "Have thine own way, Lord." Just for an hour. Matt, you may have something, a big contract laying on the table. Just block it out. Just for an hour, forget about it and let God have his own way with you. Can you make that your prayer tonight? If you would, just stand up with me. Stand and make that your prayer. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for each one that's here. We don't know who's here. There could be some hurting, some that are lonely, some that are hungry for the Word of God. And we pray for the Father that you would just have your way with the service and in every life that is here tonight. Father, we pray that you would push Ron off to the side so they don't hear Ron, they just hear God speaking. And that each one of us would allow you to have your way in us. Thank you. And these things we ask in thy name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like for you to turn your attention to Matthew, the 14th chapter. I probably won't even read the scripture because all of you have probably heard it. It's the story of Jesus walking on the water. Now, it says in the scripture that he told his disciples to go ahead out on the water. And he went up to pray. And when they were out there in the water, in the wind and the waves, they got contrary. In the King James, it says, in the darkest part of the night, Jesus come walking to the disciples on the water. In the darkest part of the night. I'm sure many of you have been in the darkest part of the night. And then you saw Jesus walking by. Hey, you know, when you think about all the miracles and the stories in the Bible, think about those people like in the lion's den. Think about the lady at the well. He spoke about it last Sunday. And then Jesus walked by. It changes things. When Jesus walks by, it changes things. You see, if Jesus was here tonight, which he is, but if he was here in his physical beings and he happens to walk through those back doors and come and walking down the center aisle and would happen to see a blind person sitting there, it wouldn't surprise me if Jesus would touch those blinded eyes and say, "Once you was blind, but you now you can see." You see, that's just Jesus. One of my first trips to San Francisco, it was really interesting. Probably my first time I was there, all kind of nationalities, all types of people, but I had a dilemma. I was shopping with four women. Now, you men know what kind of problem I was having. Because we was going in and out of dress shops, and I was sick and tired of not finding anything to fit. So I told him that I just wanted to stand at the doorway. And so I positioned myself there waiting for them, and of course it was a long time. But I stood there, and I noticed a lady on a pallet kneeling there, and she was selling pencils, trying to earn a little money. I was watching the reaction of the people as they were walking by. Some of them would come over to her and buy a pencil. Others would just throw money in her basket. There were some, they'd walk away from her and try to stay away from her. And I got to thinking, what would happen if Jesus would walk by? It kind of reminded me of what I've read in the Bible, where the beggars were there. Oh, it wouldn't have surprised me if Jesus would have walked over and said, pick up your pallet and walk. See, that's just Jesus, full of love and compassion. But so often, we miss those miracles if we don't watch for them. But what happens when Jesus walks by? That wouldn't have surprised me a bit, because he's omnipotent. So it really doesn't surprise me that Jesus walked out on the water, because he was omnipotent. He could do things like that. But then, as we read on in the scripture, Peter cried out. And Jesus says, oh, don't be afraid. And Peter cries out, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come to you. I like Peter. He always, kind of like me, he just speaks before he thinks, you know. And he says, if that's you, bid me to come to you. And then the answer came back, and Jesus said, come. Whew. What would have you done if you were out in Table Rock Lake and Jesus was walking by and he says, come? Would you just get out and walk on the water? Peter did. I don't know. It could have been a calm day. I would have had to test the waters to see if my feet had the right buoyancy or something. But you see, Jesus says, come. Hey, is he asking you to do some reckless thing? You know, maybe he's calling you to the mission field. Maybe he's calling you to get out of your soft, cushy chair, walk across the room, shut off the TV, and walk all the way across the street and talk to a neighbor about Jesus. Maybe he's calling you to do the impossible. Hey, if he is, he'll give you the way. He'll let you walk right out there on the water. Okay? And Peter, he got out of the boat and he walked on the water. There was a guy laying in a hospital bed, messed his leg up. And he was laying at a hospital bed. His wife come in and says, if something goes wrong tomorrow in the surgery, are you okay? He said, oh, yeah. He said, you know, there's no problem. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to go wrong. But he said, if something does go wrong, I'm ready. I'm ready to meet Jesus. The next day, they go into the surgery, and everything, the nurses, I hope we don't have a bunch of nurses here, because I can't get this right, but they prepared him for surgery. Got him all ready. They hooked up all the wires and everything. And then they had that screen over there. You've seen it on TV where it has this little line that goes beep, beep, beep. That shows her heartbeat. But they hooked him up and the line was just going bzzz. I think they call it straight lining. The doctor came in and said, what's wrong? They said, something's wrong. And he said, well, disconnect everything and rehook it up and see, and reset everything and just do it all over again. Same thing. Bzz. The old surgeon comes over and he said, son, he said, something's really wrong. He said, the machine says you're dead, but I'm talking to you. So I know you're not dead, but I can't operate on a dead person. And so he wasn't really worried, you know. He was ready. So he goes back to his room, and for 10 days he laid in the hospital bed, and they was putting blood thinner in him and all that stuff. And then they had to move him to Kansas City because things weren't quite right. They moved him to Kansas City, and he got there, and they moved him late at night, got into the room, and it was kind of funny because it was bad weather and the family couldn't be there. He was all alone in the room. They put him in a room that was a double bed deal. But the other bed was gone. He thought, that's kind of weird. And so he was just laying there, and then he noticed this kid that was sitting in the corner with his head between his legs, and he kind of mustered up enough nerve to say, what's wrong? The kid come over and talked to him, and he said, well, My dad was in here at 8 o'clock this morning. He went into heart surgery. I don't think he's coming back. All of a sudden, that kid that had his leg stiff for 10 days and in pain for 10 days, laid there, forgot about his own problems, started praying for a kid's dad. You know what? When you're forgetting about your own problems and start praying for other people, it does you a lot of good. And he was praying for somebody that he didn't even know. And then all of a sudden, Jesus walked by. And he said, all of a sudden, he felt something go wrong in his body. And he sat up in his bed and he looked at that leg and he thought, something's wrong. And he bent that leg and it had been straight for 10 days and it wasn't hurting anymore. And he straightened it up until he was almost a 90 degree angle. And he felt the pain shoot through his leg and he knew it was still broke. Everything's okay. Well, that night, he slept through the night, early in the morning. The next morning, they was preparing for surgery. They always have surgery real early in the morning. I don't understand that. You know, I don't think I want to be worked on by a doctor that's half asleep. But that's the way it was. It was early in the morning. Same doctor comes in to do his surgery. Hooked up all the machines. Everything was going right. And he said, you better take an x-ray of it so I can see how I'm working on that leg. And he hung it up there so he could watch it. And the doctor came in, he looked at the x-rays and looked at each one. He said, turn him over, take another picture. They did that. He walked over to the kid. He said, I don't know what happened to your leg, but it's all straightened out. He said, I couldn't have done better if I was in there. We're just going to cast and send you home. Whew. You didn't have to ask that young kid what happened. He knew Jesus walked by. But the miracle of miracles wasn't when his leg got touched. It was when his heart got touched so he could tell his wife, I'm okay. I'm ready to go. You know, miracles happen a lot if we just watch for them, you know. It's by faith, though, you see a lot of that stuff. You know, Peter got out of the water and he walked. He had the kind of faith I don't think I would have had, you know. And you think about that. I don't know, for a long time I had the Reader's Digest prayer and faith. You know what the Reader's Digest prayer is? Well, you guys don't know me very well. In fact, I've never even shared this with my wife, so it's going to be a shocker here. But I'm a millionaire. Now, the pastor's saying, well, where's the tithe? You know, but I'm a millionaire because for years, the Reader's Digest sent this thing in my mail, and it said, you've already won $1 million. All I had to do is fill this thing out and mail it off, and I've won. And, you know, I'd fill that sucker out every time, and I'd put it in the mail, and I'd say, I won't win. And, you know, I've never been wrong. I've never won it. You know, sometimes we pray like that. Sometimes we ask God to help this or that or the other thing, and then we turn around and worry about it. That ain't gonna work. You got to have faith. And have the faith rather than a little Reader's Digest prayer. Well, a little Reader's Digest prayer is like writing something out on a piece of paper and folding it into a paper airplane and sending up. If you had any luck, it'd hit the ceiling. But God's not going to get it. You got to have faith in it. And what's this faith thing? The Bible says the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, I'm a pretty simple person, and I like to water it down. I'm going to give you a different translation or paraphrase tonight. This is from Ron Luther, so don't carry it very far. You see, it's believing wholeheartedly that something will happen and acting as it already has. You see what I mean? Acting like it's already done. I kind of think about it. I thought about it when Merle was talking with some of the Sturt brothers about paratroops and jumping out of an airplane. I have a parachute. My parachute's a little bit different. Mine's a big parachute, and it's got a big bag. But when I pack it in there, in fact, I had a friend that taught me how to pack it. We had dinner with him a few nights ago. But he would pack that chute in there. You had to fold it just right or it wouldn't fit in the bag. But then we got down, we had the bag, the parachute already in the bag, and then it's got hundreds of feet of line hanging out. And he said, now this is real technical. You got to pack it in there real neat and real careful. He said, you just pile it in there. And there it was, just a whole wad of lines piled in there. And I thought, how in the world is this going to come out? Well, it always does for some reason. But you know, sometimes my life's like that. I got all this junk that I put in there. And God's going to straighten it all out. But think about a paratrooper. He packs his parachute in his bag and makes it just right. I don't know how to do that. But he packs it all in there, and he believes in that parachute. He believes in that parachute when he packs it in there. He believes in it when he straps it on his back. He believes in the parachute when he gets in the airplane. And he believes in that parachute when he steps up there to that open door ready to jump out. He's still believing in his parachute. But let me tell you, when he takes that next step in the midair, it changes from belief into faith. And he knows that parachute is going to take him down. That's the kind of faith you need. I went to healing service one time, but I had my Reader's Digest prayer with me, you remember? And I sat on the back row. They announced that they was going to pray for the pastor's wife, the assistant pastor's wife who'd lost her sight in one eye. And they were going to pray for it. It was a big deal. They was going to have a healing service. And there were several of them come up and were anointed by oil. But everybody was praying for the pastor's wife. And I was on the back row. I was all excited to see a miracle right there. And I was in the back row and I thought, nothing's going to happen. Huh. I'm praying for her, but nothing's going to happen. Guess what? I was right. The service got over. Everybody was dispersing and leaving. Some were down at the altar praying. And I left, and I was going back to the campus, and I thought, I never thought anything was going to happen. Went to class the next morning. The teacher said, did you hear what happened in the service last night? Well, I did. Nothing happened. Yeah, right. They were up there praying at the altar afterwards. All of a sudden, the pastor's wife says, I can see, and she jerked her glasses off, and one of them was darkened to where she couldn't see. She jerked it off, and she said, I can see, and she ran up and down the aisles, and Ron missed it because he had a Reader's Digest prayer. He wasn't even believing that God was going to walk by, but Jesus walked by. And think about it in the Bible, when Jesus walks by, the prostitute there at the well, he spoke about it. You know, he changed her life when Jesus walked by. At the pool of Bethesda, nothing had happened to that guy for years. But then Jesus walked by. How about it in your life when Jesus walks by? It doesn't matter what kind of a dark of the night you're in. Jesus will walk by and change things. We got a great big God. He's able to do anything he wants if we let him, you know. There was a man that a long time ago owned a Rolls Royce, and he was just taken by that Rolls Royce. He started collecting all kind of about his Rolls Royce. He collected all the information, everything, every information he could. He found out about that Rolls Royce and what it could do. But you know, after he was kind of looking through all his stuff, he never did know how much horsepower it would develop. And so he wrote the company to find out how many horses it would produce. And they wrote him back and said, we don't give out that information. It's not for you to know. He got pretty aggravated. He was a rich guy. He says, I demand to know how much power that Rolls Royce will produce. He got the answer back from the company in one word. They said, it's adequate. You know, we got a great big God. No matter what storm we're going through, When the wind and the waves, and in the scripture that we looked at tonight, it said the wind and the waves started crashing in on Peter. He got his eyes off of Jesus. He started to sink, and he cried out to Jesus. It doesn't matter what storm you're going through tonight. We've got a God that is adequate to meet your need. You know, I had an old car, and I was driving. I had a job way up north. And a meeting I closed out almost to the Canadian border. And I knew I had to drive all night home in order to make my next hitch. And I was driving in that old car. And you know, it's really tough when you preach on faith and then you have to use it. And I was driving home. And you know, the old car was getting pretty close to empty. And I finally got to this town where I could get some gas. And I pulled into the gas station. I said, sir, I need some gas. And I got cash to pay for some, but I'd rather save that cash and just use my card. Is there another gas station open this time of night? He said, oh, yeah, which way are you going? I said, I'm going south. He said, just get out on the interstate, little ways, maybe 15 miles or so, there's another gas station. And you can go there and get gas. And he'll take a card. I don't. So I said, okay, and I thanked him, and I went on my way, and I was on that highway. It was 2 or 3 in the morning, and I was driving down that old dark. It was one of those nights, probably like it's going to be tonight, all foggy and everything, one of those nights where the movies show people just disappear. And I was driving along, and I was talking on the CB to truckers, and I said, I'm out of gas. Is there a gas station up here? Oh, no, there's not a gas station out here. No, if you got to get some gas, you better turn around and go back to that town because there's not a gas station out here. And I just kept driving. I said, well, I felt like God wanted me to just go on. So that old gas gauge, it just got lower and lower and lower. Okay, God, it's in your hands now. And all of a sudden, that gas gauge just started coming back up. No, it didn't. I just had you going. You know what? That old Chevy just sputtered and stopped and ran out. And I thought, okay, God, this is testing me now. And so I just pulled it off, and I thought, well, maybe God just knows I need a break. And so I just leaned the seat back, and I was going to take a nap, and all of a sudden I heard a crackling voice come on the CB and said, where's that guy that's running out of gas? I got on the phone. I said, I'm right here. He said, well, where's that? I said, I looked out, and all I could see was an overpass. I said, well, there's an overpass. I'm right by an overpass. He said, is that a railroad overpass? I said, I don't know. It could be. He said, it must be. You sound like you're pretty close to me. I've got some gas. I'll bring you some gas. And there was an old man. And you know, I was thinking as I was driving out there that God, you can take care of this situation. You can make the Chevy run without gas. Or you can put a gas station out here that's open. Either way, it'd been a win for me. I would have been in oil. But you know, it didn't. It ran out of gas. But you know, I think maybe Jesus walked by and tapped an old man on the shoulder and says, wake up, you got to go on your CV. I have need of you. You see, Jesus just walked by. And he was there. Sometimes we as Christians limit God and say, okay, God, make the Chevy run without gas, or give me a gas station. Hey, God's got the whole thing in his hands. The sisters of Lazarus, they called Jesus. They were a little aggravated Jesus didn't show up. They said, Jesus, if you'd have walked by, you could have kept him from dying. Jesus had it in his own hands on how he was going to make it happen. He had it in his way. And it usually ends up better. When the wind and the waves was crashing in on him, Peter cried out to Jesus and says, Jesus, save me. Think about your little world. When words such as traffic accident, heart attack, cancer, things like that, Iraq, and some of you even living with Vietnam, come creeping into your life and they're actually words that you are communicating with, what are you doing? Let me tell you, that's part of the darkest part of your night. You can reach out to Jesus and he's right there. I had a friend that traveled an awful lot. He said, I never buy my kids any toys or anything, because when I come home, I didn't want them going for my suitcase. I want them to come to me. But he said, I was in this airport, saw this perfect little airplane, and he thought, whew, my son would love that little airplane. And so he said he bought that airplane. He took it home. He was so excited to give him that little balsam wood airplane. And he got it out, and he gave that to his son. And his son looked at that, and he said, oh, man, I got to go get this put together. So he runs up into his upstairs bedroom to put it together. And a little while after he was reuniting with the rest of his family, he wondered how the airplane was coming. He goes to the stairs, and he says, Chip, how's the airplane coming? And there was silence. And when you've got a little boy and there's silence, you know there's trouble. So he ran up the stairs real quick. And there his son Chip was coming out with his airplane all put together. But you know, he had that little plane and he held it up to his daddy. He said, here, Daddy, can you make my airplane fly? And he had the little plane, he put it together. But as he was putting a wing on, he broke the wing. Broke the tail section off. His hands gripped the fuselage so tightly it was all smashed up. But to fix it up, he went and got his mom's scotch tape, and he taped the wings back on. He taped the back of this plane back together, taped all the body together, and there he was with his little taped up, broken up plane. And he was holding up and says, Daddy, can you make my plane fly? Hey, sometimes we're like that. We made a mess of our life. We made a mess of our marriage. We made a mess of our business. And then to try to fix it all up, we try to do it ourselves. But we can just bring it to Jesus, our Heavenly Father, and He'll make it work. I was going to pick my son up one time when he was real little. I'll remember this. He always wanted to go with me. And he was working on a puzzle. And he was trying to put his puzzle back together, but it was all in pieces. And he, in his hurry and his rush and his adolescence, he was picking up all the pieces. But before he got his arm full of pieces, he started dropping some, and he was just frustrated, and he just threw it down. And you know, sometimes I get that way. You might be right there tonight where you're ready, just ready to throw in the towel, give it up, and put it down. But I'm telling you that tonight that we serve a God that's a great big God. He's still the master builder. He can pick up all the broken pieces of your life, of your marriage, of your business, of whatever you've got that's broken, and you give it to Him, and He's the master builder. He's got the master plan. He can put your little world together, set it spinning, and make it work. Dr. McConnell told a story of how he was fishing on a riverbank one day. And as he was fishing, he saw such a funny thing that happened. And a little boy come up to the riverbank, walked down on a little homemade dock. And he had a little flag, and he was just waving a flag. And he thought, I wonder what that little boy's doing, waving a little flag. All of a sudden, he looked up river. Here's a big riverboat coming. This little boy was going to try to stop the riverboat. And he was waving this little flag, and Dr. McConnell thought he better go tell this little boy. It probably won't be happening. And he walked over and he said, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to stop this riverboat. Oh, yeah? And Dr. McConnell says, you can't stop that riverboat. Big riverboat can't even stop in this swift current, especially on the bend of the river. He'll never do it. Little boy says, yes, he will. Yes, he will. Hey, wave your little flag. He waved a flag and a couple big whistles come from the big boat, signifying the message had been received. He said all of a sudden the big riverboat started to shuttle and slow down and kind of turn their direction and was floating over this way, and the gangplank come out and pointed down to the little homemade dock. Little boy still waving his flag. And as he walked up on the gangplank, he turned back to Dr. McConnell and he said, see, mister, I told you he would. My daddy's the captain of this boat. You see, we're like that. We're out here on the sea of life doing the best we can. and a lot of wind and the waves are crashing in on us, let me tell you, if you're willing to just wave your little flag, he's right there. And it comes to my favorite part of this whole scripture. I didn't even read the scripture. You've read it many times, I'm sure. But it said that Peter called out to Jesus and says, "Save me." And Jesus reached down and caught him. No matter what you're going through tonight, you can reach down and wave your little flag, and Jesus will reach down and pick you up and care for you. He cares for you that much, and he's that adequate to meet all your need, big enough to meet every challenge that you could give him. You know, tonight I've asked Gail to sing a song for us. It's just about Jesus, okay? And we're the troops. But tonight, I'm going to open the altar up for you to come up here and talk to Jesus about anything. I didn't preach on salvation, sanctification, nothing in particular, but other than Jesus. Tonight, I'm going to open the altar up, but I'm not going to call it an altar call. I'm going to call it your call. I want you, when you feel the Spirit leading you, to come up here and talk to Jesus about anything. Stand and bow your heads.
Amen. Amen.
This evening you had the opportunity to come and talk to Jesus about anything. Maybe you would like to come, if the Holy Spirit's inviting you, just come and say, "Jesus, I love you." Or, "Jesus, thank you." Maybe you're going to have to come and say, "Jesus, forgive me for this thing in my life. Sanctify me." Whatever you want to tell Jesus, you can tell him. In our meeting the other day, Matt says you can tell Jesus anything. The beautiful thing is you can come and talk to the master's servant. You can talk to Sam. But the beautiful thing, you can walk right on past the servant and walk to Jesus and tell him whatever you want to. Tell him you love him. Whatever you want to tell him. If you're finished talking to Jesus, you can go back to your seat. Would you sing it?
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name.
He can help you, whatever you want him to do.
Savior,
this is just a praise service.
Jesus,
he's done so much for you, and he'll continue doing it.
After the rain, Jesus, Jesus.
Your chance to come. If you want to come, we're going to sing it one more time. And if no one else comes, this is how we close it. You're going to close it. We thank you for your attentiveness,
Jesus,
and what you've done for us.
Jesus.